conversations between sort of the processing industry and the municipalities, and trying to work through what is going to be challenging times. And so it's tomorrow at 4 o'clock is our first teleconference. We're going to just kind of put some things out there, start talking through conversations, issues. There's a lot happening. There's a lot of meetings and sort of group effort to A, determine what the health mandate that came out yesterday, how it affects CP processing across the state. And I know there's other industries as well that are affected, but in particular, the state has requested plans for any processor that was needing to have workers come to the state of Alaska before May 1st. They were requiring them to submit other plans to the state by 3 p.m. today, showing how they would be maintaining safety of the workers and the community. So they're now working through, I guess, a review of those plans. So there's multiple things happening, not just at the state level, also sort of nationally. And I just thought it was a good idea to start conversations between two groups, because there's going to be, we need to all put our heads together to find solutions.
I want to
let folks know about that.
That's excellent, Julie. I really agree with you that we need to collectively start to process this through. And I know you and I have had some conversations, and you have some excellent ideas in terms of how we can work with our own local processor to ensure that they're able to cobble the season together here and still be respectful and mindful of our limited capacity with our medical facilities, that if we introduce 50 additional people to the community, what's the impact to our limited capacity at the hospital? So, but I think there's some excellent ideas there, and I'm gonna challenge Lisa again with all the things on her desk that I know she already has this top of mind, but just to make sure that we're following up on it. And I just wanna give a shout out to C-Level, who has been Rocky at sea level has been incredibly responsive and diligent in working with us and finding solutions as we've moved along already. And we do have that April 15th meeting scheduled, where we are going to be reviewing all three of the major importers of employment into the community with sea level, the Alaska Crossings Program, and the U.S. Forest Service. So it would be nice to have some ideas generated, and Julie, you've got some great ideas for that. So, but it would be good to get out to the rest of the assembly so we're all on, working towards it and our minds wrapped around it. But excellent point. Does anybody else have anything for a report to the from the assembly? Okay. Been involved in several things on various different fronts and working with the city manager on several sort of large scale ideas and attempting to come up with some strategies for us for state level issues that we're facing. I've sat in numerous conference calls, usually one or two a day right now, between the Alaska Municipal League and the state government. We've reached out to both our state senator's representative, Sherry Klein, and we've also been in contact with Dan Ortiz, although I have not been in contact with Senator Stedman's office. That is on my list. I know that we've been had incidental contact through that office, but not directly, and addressing our concerns in terms of our ability to handle various issues that are coming our way. So the team here is geared up and are going at this 100% in the hopes that we never need to utilize any of the strategies that are being put in place, but we've got to have the infrastructure, we've got to do some pre-planning. So I feel very confident right now that we're heading in the right direction. I am very pleased that the governor finally gave some teeth to the municipalities in terms of enforcing the quarantine orders. I bet 20 times a day right now, citizens contacting me saying, hey, this person just walked off the jet. They were down in wherever, and they're now they're over in the grocery store. And so now we have some teeth to deal with that. And I'm appreciative to the Dunleavy administration for stepping up and helping us out with that, because otherwise it's just a recommendation and people can take it or leave it. Lisa, do you have something else you want to add to that?
Right. I just wanted to add, I did have a conversation yesterday with a representative from Congressman Young's office. He called to check in on how things were going in Wrangell, and specifically was wondering where the community stance is on the request that has come from a handful of groups regarding a waiver of the Jones Act, so that if the Port of Vancouver, if Canada remains resolute in keeping themselves closed off to cruise ship traffic for the foreseeable future, that there is a workaround for the cruise industry into Alaska. And the City and Borough of Wrangell, nor the CVB, nor the Chamber has taken official action on that here, but that may be something we need to do in the near future. I did express our concern from Wrangell in that although cruise traffic is hugely important to our economy, and obviously we would like to see things reinstated as soon as it's safely possible, the fact of the matter is that a waiver of the Jones Act and bringing cruise ships in before it is safe to bring large volumes of people into our area is not something that we are interested in. And so it may be that we need to call the assembly together and take action on a formal opinion on that in the near future, and we'll keep you posted.
I also want to just point out for the public, it's not just a matter of quarantining people for 2 weeks. So if we bring in, you know, whatever number of people and we add to our population and that group is sitting here and they quarantine for 2 weeks, well, number one, if somebody during that 2 weeks gets sick, they're now a part of our medical crisis that we will have trying to deal with this. Or if down the road they get sick from somebody within the community, even if they've quarantined, they add to the stress to the medical system. As well, when you bring in workers, there's injuries. And so the hospital isn't just shutting down and dealing with nothing but coronavirus. They have to deal with clinic visits and emergency room visits, and people are still having heart attacks and gallbladder attacks, and they've got to cover off all that stuff and deal with a highly contagious virus. So all that stresses our system, and it doesn't take too much to stress the system to the point where it's not functioning as well as it should. And the final reminder is we have free respirators, and it won't take long for free respirators. So I want us to be cautious about adding to the overall population as we're moving along in this.
Mr. Mayor, yeah, if I could add to that.
Sorry, I'm going to let Lisa go first, and then you can jump in.
Okay, thanks.
To add to the concerns that the mayor just mentioned, I set in, and actually the mayor did too, on a conference call today where a member of the Juneau Assembly spoke and said they have been advised by Bartlett that they do not believe that any hospital in the Seattle area, which is where typically where we in Southeast would medevac to, will accept a patient for any purpose. So if there's a car accident, a major car accident, if there's a heart attack, if there's a stroke, if there's something that has absolutely nothing to do with coronavirus, there may not be any place to send people. Now, I don't know what the situation is in Anchorage, obviously.
They're still accepting people.
Right, but the fact of the matter is that one of our locations that we would typically medevac to is absolutely, Seattle is not available. And Ketchikan, obviously, and now Juneau are dealing with their own coronavirus crises. And so it's getting very, very scary, very real for us to be worried about not only coronavirus, but just any other medical condition that might arise.
Sorry, was that Ann that had wanted to talk?
Yes, it was. I was just wondering, is there a time frame on this waiver on the Jones Act? I mean, is this something that we need to deal with sooner than later?
I'll find out what the potential timing is on that.
I mean, I think yeah, anyhow.
And it raises
I would just like to see us get that. Go ahead.
It raises an interesting question, and that question is, who's in control of our harbors? And I've raised this question today with City Manager Von Bargen and our harbor master and our clerk, that we need to understand what is our ability to turn off and turn on our harbors. And I'll just give you a scenario that is, let's just say worst case scenario, things really bust loose in Seattle, and we have a bunch of people jump on their big boats and decide place to be is Alaska. I'm going to get up there because there's hardly any virus up there, and they steam up to our ports and decide they want to tie up. What is our ability to control that? And the reason why, again, is although it seems like a really great idea to come to small town Alaska, it's not for our medical system. And if we're adding to the stress on that medical system, this is the whole concept of density. And I just want to really watch how we stress that. So they're looking into that, and hopefully they'll have some answers. And at the same time, we don't want to shoot ourselves in the foot and not be able to gear up if come May 1st, things are looking really great, and we want to see some visitors come back, and it appears to be good. So it's a very fine balance between, you know, where do you turn the spigot off and turn it on?
I agree. I think, yeah.
Does anyone else have any other comments or reports? Lisa, are you good? Okay. Then we're going to move on to Mayor and Assembly Appointments, item number 10. There are none. 11, we do not have a public hearing tonight. 12, unfinished business. There is none. 13, new business, A, resolution number 03201523. And just a clerical note, the clerk has pointed out that we inadvertently made a mistake on our on the numbering, where it was originally registered as 1520, should be 1523, of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, establishing alternative one spillway trench and siphon as preferred alternative for the reservoir bypass project.
Move to approve resolution number 3-20-1523.
Good move. Do we have a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Was that Ann?
Yes.
Maya? Okay, you got it? Okay, thank you. Discussion?
And if there are specific questions from the Assembly, Mr. Mayor, Amber, our Capital Facilities Director, is on the line as well.
Amber, are you on the line there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We got you. It's so nice to talk about something else besides coronavirus right now. Can you tell us a little bit about this spillway project, please?
Sure. I'll give you a little brief rundown. So we have been in the throes of this project for several years. If you take a look at the information that was submitted in the packet, you'll see that this conversation and an alternatives analysis was begun originally back in 2003. I think part of the delay with this is, and part of the reason that we've had so much trouble moving this project forward too, is based on the instability of our upper dam. But here we are. We have gone through as much of the pre-work as we can with Shannon and Wilson. We hired them 2 years ago to start this alternatives analysis for us to evaluate the different options to access the water in the upper reservoir in order to make a direct connection from the upper reservoir to the water plant. And just a little history for those of you who don't know, currently the water plant is fed by the lower reservoir only, and the upper reservoir spills over it's an open trench and feeds the lower reservoir, and that's where the direct connection to the water treatment plant. So the idea behind making this additional direct connection from the upper reservoir to the water plant is to enable us to potentially do a couple of things, but first and foremost, to allow us to pull the lower reservoir offline if we need to and do some maintenance work. We do know that both of the reservoirs have silted in, and we begin to lose capacity in those, and there's potential to remove some of the stumps, maybe in the upper reservoir to gain additional capacity. From time to time, we have better quality of water, raw water in the upper reservoir, so it could be advantageous for us to pull water directly from the upper reservoir for that purpose as well. And ultimately, something could happen to the lower reservoir, and you know we would want that backup connection in that case as well. So looking at that, the options to access that water, Shannon and Wilson provided five alternatives for us to consider. And when we first started this, they had two of the alternatives that considered using the two existing drain lines that run through the base of the dam. And that was the way up until recently when we did the camera inspection of those two pipes. That's how we actually accessed the water in the upper reservoir unless it was overflowing the spillway. Meaning, you know, we have more water than capacity, so it just automatically overflowed and ran down to the lower reservoir. But in cases where it wasn't overflowing, we used those two drain lines to access the water and let that water then fall down through the trench to the lower reservoir. Well, those two pipes, one is an 8-inch and one is a 10-inch line, they're quite compromised. And 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, when we cameraed the system, and found that we closed the valves, and that's when we started using the siphon, as you all probably recall. So Wayne, Drew, and the crew have been using a siphon that they built to access the upper reservoir water for the last year and a half, basically. So we've decided that based on the instability of the dams, and the unknown of how we would be able to utilize those pipes and do the slip lining or the slip lining. And furthermore, because of the obstructions that we have seen through the cammering in those two pipes, we do know that we would not be able to get enough flow from those two pipes through the slip lining to be able to provide the flow rate to the plant that we would need to move in. The SIP lining, you can secure in place with the SIP lining, CIPP, and because there is enough water intrusion into the pipe through a joint separation and other, there's a rock intrusion in the sidewall of the pipe, so we feel that the technology expert considered that probably not a good option because the resin from the liner would not have the ability potentially to cure with that intrusion of the water. So those two alternatives using the two existing drain lines, we pretty much took off the table immediately as soon as we had the camera information and were able to go through that evaluation. That left us with three other options to consider. One we call a pump around, the other we call the horizontal directional drilling, and the last is spillway trench and siphon. And so there are a lot of other things to consider with these three. I've outlined those in my report. I'll kind of walk through them sequentially as we kind of took them off the table. I'll give you our thought process on the evaluation of these three alternatives that were remaining. So the pump around was identified as alternative five, and Shannon and Wilson, they actually step back. They performed a ranking matrix of alternatives for us, and that ranking matrix considered a variety of criteria related with each of the alternatives. Their matrix tallied this pump around option as the highest and best option for us. And primarily that is because this is the only option that gains access to the water without having to tap the dam. So make some kind of connection through the dam itself or the abutment. The problem with this is that it's over $2 million, and we feel we don't have the money, and it would be difficult for us to find the balance of money that we need beyond the existing grant that we have from the state to accomplish this alternative. Otherwise, that is likely our best option, but we simply can't afford it. So based on that, we took that one off the table. I'm going to just keep going through this, and then you can ask questions if you'd like. So we're left with two. The next is the horizontal directional drilling, and that one's a little tricky as well when you're talking about a dam that's not very stable, such as our upper dam. While this alternative is not recommended for embankment dams, such as the one that we have, there is the possibility that we could accomplish this through the abutment of the dam, where some previous geological information that Shannon and Wilson has shows that rock is quite hard. It's hard enough that it would likely provide good protection against fracturing of the dam adjacent to it. So there's lots of other things that I discussed about that. I'll just the highlights of this option, though. This also is likely, it could likely be our second preferred option. However, the problem with this option that is the most concerning to us is that in order to get the directional drilling into the dam and low enough to gain access to the lowest capacity, have to have the exit of that drill in a dry space. And so we would have to lower the reservoir to a level that we do not believe would sustain wrangle by not having that water available to us. And just an idea of what that means, we've got 47 million gallons of water in the upper reservoir. We have 21.8 million gallons in the lower reservoir. So our lower capacity is in that lower reservoir, which we would be relying on. And, you know, with the seasonal fluctuations that we have currently, many summers we get quite low, and we are pulling water from the upper reservoir to be able to keep the flow to the water plant to create, to build the water that we need for the demand. And you all probably heard this many times, but because our water treatment plant is based on a gravity system, once you start to lose once your lower reservoir level drops, you lose your head pressure, and so then you start to lose your flow rate as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got a double whammy there as far as the impacts. As that lower reservoir goes, starts to drop. So by not having the upper reservoir water, I mean, we would basically just be dumping 40 some odd million gallons of water to be able to do that project. And we don't think that is a feasible option for us based on that reason. So that leaves us with alternative one, which is the spillway trench and siphon. And this option, would see trenching through the existing spillway. And we could accomplish that by either doing small blasts and excavating to a level of 7 feet below the crest of that spillway, or utilizing mechanical trenching equipment, which is not, I don't believe we have that equipment in Wrangell. We'd have to come into Wrangell. Which would drive the cost to bring that mechanical trenching equipment in, but the mechanical trenching would likely be a lot safer for impacts and fractures to the rock than doing the drilling and blasting and excavating. When we questioned the engineers about that, just again because of, you know, the known instability of our dam, They say that it's very common to do those small blasts and be able to get to that 7-foot trench, and they feel like it's very feasible for us. But we do have the option to look at the mechanical trencher as a better way to trench through that spillway. And what that would do is it would allow us to get direct connection through that spillway with a siphon. And so we would construct a siphon assembly, which would then be connected to the pipe that runs through the plant. There's been a lot of consternation about this problem. The engineers originally had some concern that connecting to the closed pipe might not provide what we need as far as the potential. Their concern was the potential of creating a vacuum and collapsing the pipe. And we've gone round and round with them about this for pretty much the last, 9 months, and have done a lot of investigative work on this and researched and just looked at the calculations with them. And we also talked to Petersburg, who has a similar project. They have a 24-inch HDPE line that runs 6 miles to their plant. And they had a pipe collapse with that several years ago, I think almost 2 years ago now. And in talking to them about the problems with that and how they corrected that problem, we actually met with Carl Hagerman and the engineers, Shannon Wilson and CRW engineers, to discuss that. And after learning from their problems and how they corrected that, we are feeling like there's a way to achieve what we need to with this option and that siphon. And basically there's additional systems that would need to be put in place to ensure that algae or other growth doesn't happen on the inside of the pipe, because that's what Petersburg experienced. The algae growth reduced their flow rate, which and that's what created the vacuum failure and line failure that they had. So we probably look at implementing a pigging system similar to what they did, to have a pipe cleaning system ready to go on a regular basis. One of the thoughts. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say you have done an amazingly thorough explanation of the background of the project.
Thank you. If we move forward with the spillway trench and siphon, the water department and Wayne and Roland would like for us to explore with the engineers the possibility of adding a drawdown pipe, which would need to be at a lower depth to be able to draw that reservoir down in case of an emergency. There is some concern just with initial discussion that that trenching to that depth would be problematic to our dam. But it is something that they're willing to look at and explore with us to try to get that deficiency off of our list as well. So our staff's recommendation is to move forward with the spillway trench and siphon. It seems to be our best option as far as feasibility to our dam and to our pocketbook as well. That said, the engineer's estimate for this project is well above the amount of money that we have right now from the state. And based on their current estimate, we would need to find roughly another $250,000 to complete this project. We would need to go through the full design project with them, and they would develop a cost estimate based on their final design. And we would have that to look at to identify exactly how much money we need to acquire in case we had a shortfall to move the project forward.
Okay. Thank you, Amber. Does anybody have any questions for Amber on the project itself or the history of the project? Drew, go ahead.
Any idea what the design phase would cost us?
Well, let's see, Bruce, I don't have that in front of me. Give me 2 seconds, I'll look that up. It was in the Shannon and Wilson report.
I can go back and find it, that's fine.
Okay, they had that estimated as part of that project's total cost.
I saw it in there.
I'm scrolling for it real quickly here.
I got a question.
Go ahead, David. Yeah, let's get Amber have a second to look up that info for Drew there.
Okay. Design and permitting for alternative one is estimated at $92,000.
Did you get that, Drew? $92,000? Okay, great. Thank you. David?
Yes,
so, I'm sorry, but some of this is coming in and out to me, so I don't know if I got everything, but does this mean that we're going to abandon the bypass line altogether, the one that's already half or three-quarter way in place?
No, David. We'd actually be connecting to that line with the siphon line. So we would trench a siphon line through the spillway, and then that pipe would be extended to meet up with the open end of that existing pipe that was installed in the early 2000s.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Okay, hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Pachanka?
Yes. All right. Moving on to 13B, resolution number 03-20-1521, the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, adopting the Wrangell Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan.
Move to adopt resolution 03-20-1521.
Second.
And was that Julie seconded?
Yes.
Or Patty?
No,
So I had Patty made the motion. Did Julie second?
Yeah. Whatever.
Great. Discussion? Okay.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, just a reminder. This version of the hazard mitigation plan was paid for by the state. And a contractor did this. And as Carol indicated in the agenda statement, there were issues with the contractor and things got submitted to the state and then to FEMA for approval without us reviewing it. If anybody has any questions, specific questions, Carol is also online and can answer those for folks. But we are based on Carol and Dee Dee's meetings, emergency management meetings in Sitka recently. They were instructed that we should move forward with adoption of the plan as soon as possible rather than waiting to do the amendments. So that's why it's being brought forward when initially at the last meeting I had indicated we would bring forward the plan with amendments. But we'd like to move forward with approval of the plan right now and then we'll get amendments back to you in the next probably 60 days or so. And I don't know if Carol's got anything else she'd like to add.
Carol, are you on the line there?
I am on the line. And no, I have nothing more to add.
Why are we not surprised? Does anybody have any questions for Carol or for Lisa? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly member DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Pachanka?
Yes. 13C, resolution number 03-20-1522, of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the job descriptions of the assistant diesel mechanic to include meter reading responsibilities.
I move to approve resolution number 03-20-1522.
We move. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion. Lisa, do you want to give any administrative report on that?
Yes. First, I'd like to say that we hope this is the third and final time we'll be bringing this job description to the Assembly. We tried other workarounds, other solutions to this, and they just have unfortunately not panned out. And so we're back to try to make this part of the assistant diesel mechanic position and move forward in that direction as we hire that position.
Thank you. Any questions for Lisa or discussion?
I will add that Rod did speak with our union representative in Ketchikan, and although they have not given final written concurrence, they had at this time no objection to the change that was being made.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Flaherty?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
And Mayor Pasanka?
Yes. 13D, approval to purchase QuantaFit respirator fit testing system in the amount of $8,373.10.
Move to approve purchase of QuantaFit respirator fit testing system in the amount of $8,373.10.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly member Powell?
Yes.
Flaherty?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Pasanka?
Yes. Item 14, attorney's file, that's available for assembly review in the borough clerk's office. Item 15, session. There is no executive session as that was struck from the agenda. Item 16 is adjournment, and with that, we will adjourn at 7:26 p.m. Thank you to everyone for your patience while we pulled out this first telephonic meeting for our assembly, and I appreciate everyone working together to get this done. Thanks very much.